listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? You look good when you smile. You should smile more. Well, hey, I'm Ryan. This is Linnea, my beautiful wife, and we're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we're so glad that you've joined us this morning. We are all about one thing here at Calvary, Jesus. So we can agree on that. We're already off to a good start, right? So we're all about helping as many people as we possibly can all across the world, starting here in our great city of Seattle, find and follow Jesus. We're all about mission in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, which we're going to do next week. If you haven't been baptized, this is your chance to sign up. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you, Jesus said. And he promised, he says, I'll be with you forever as you're doing this. Isn't that a good word? So you want to greet everybody this morning?
No.
Anything you want to say?
Of course.
Well, I need you to so I can set up. Could you?
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. So I think Ryan will probably talk about it a little bit during the sermon, but we have just started this thing called the JLS Project, and it means Jesus Loves Seattle Project. Quarterly, so right now we're launching, and quarterly we're going to have community service projects that we as a church are going to come in on so that we can bless Seattle. So we are launching for fall 2019 the Jesus Loves Seattle Homeless Bags, and basically Ryan explained it last week, but we're just going to go into depth a little bit more about it, where we're collecting items to create a bag of essentials that we will hand out to the homeless community. So our goal for right now is to make 150. Yeah, I think we're going to blow through it, honestly. You guys are cool like that. But if you look inside of the bulletin, you'll see there's a list of items, and there are different ways that you can contribute. If you go into one of the recent Calvary Christian Assembly Facebook posts, you'll see that there's a link of where you can sign up, and you can just go and get the link that I've put there and just buy it online and have it sent to us. Make it easy that way. Or if you want to go to Walmart and scour the shelves and turn it into us directly, you can do it that way. Or you can just give in your offering and just designate your monies to JLS Project, and then that would just help us in that way. So as you go out the door and out the main hallway, you're going to see Connie and myself with our laptop getting all of you guys so that you can give, and so we are excited to serve together.
We are super excited. Yeah. Thank you so much. Love you, baby.
Sure. Love you.
This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a great day. I'm most excited because we're a growing community of faith. You know, we're all about being together here at Calvary. And as Kathy so eloquently articulated a minute ago when she was up receiving the offering, we're all about generous community outreach, aren't we? Isn't that what it's all about? It's just super cool because this is our seventh week in the Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series that we've been doing here. We've been answering questions like, does prayer really work? What's God's will for my life? Can God be good when life is not? What is real love? Today we're going to be looking at, what on earth am I here for? Have you ever wondered that? What on earth am I here for? I was recently reading in the Gospel of Luke, the fifth chapter. Go there with me if you've brought your Bibles, which, by the way, I would encourage you. I'm kind of old school like that. I know I've got it on my phone. I got it on my iPad. I got the Bible everywhere. But I love bringing just the Bible. I just love having it in my hand. Anybody like that when you read a book? You like having the book? I love the Kindle. I love all that, the digital format. But there's some about just being able to dog-ear the pages, write in the margins, underline those scriptures. So I'd encourage you, if that's your way, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible with me. But look at the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read this story. It's the story about the first Jesus followers, okay? I'm going to be reading this morning from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, and it says this. Once when he, speaking of Jesus, was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. Jesus noticed two boats tied up The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little farther from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. Speaking of Jesus, the first disciples, the first Jesus followers in this narrative of Scripture, I would suggest this morning after reading this text that Jesus sees that we all have something that he can use for helping people find and follow him. Jesus sees that we all have something he can use for helping people find and follow him. So, let me start with a story. It wasn't too long ago. For those who know me, we're pushing close to 20 years of ministry service. And those who know me know that the first probably 15 or so I spent in music ministry, leading choirs and leading orchestras and leading worship teams and ensembles and kids' chorales and sorts. It was a wonderful, wonderful season. I've always had music in me. I've always had music, I say, in my bones. It's in the DNA. I love it. Mom started me on piano. I begged. I want to play drums. I want to play drums. I want to play drums. So she let me play drums, put me in private lessons for years. And then I actually ended up full circling, coming back to piano because I just loved the instrument. But I remember when I was playing drums and I'd practice for hours. I remember my instructor telling me, "Practice with the metronome, the metronome." So everything I did, all my rudiments was always with the metronome. And, you know, before I led the orchestra, I played in the orchestra. And I remember one in particular time I had practiced so hard. It was for a production at the church, and I was sitting in the middle of a 40-piece symphonic orchestra and the look up and see a 100-voice-plus choir, and I remember being nervous. I remember sitting behind the drums and thinking, "Man, what on earth am I doing here?" I remember practicing for hours and practicing the dynamics and the intros and the outros and the intonation and everything, making sure my drums were tuned and cymbals were in the proper place and everything. And I remember thinking, "Man, I don't know if I have what it takes." Are my abilities enough? See, I was looking at what I had done and how I had prepared, and I thought, man, this just kind of feels average, right? Anybody ever compare yourself? And sometimes what you're doing with the best you're bringing just starts to feel average, average skills, average talent, average abilities. But I remember feeling that. Have you ever felt that? I don't know. What on earth am I doing here? What do I have what it takes? And then the master stepped into the orchestra pit. See, there was this piano player, I remember, I'll never forget him. When he stepped in and he sat behind that piano, there seemed to be this respect for him like none other. Who was this person we had flown in from across the nation? Who was this person that came with all this talent, skill, and ability? And who was this person that when he began to play, it made me sound better? Who was this musician who had a way? Who was this master piano player? I remember sitting there behind the drums, and I'd begin to play, and he'd stop for rehearsal. He'd stop everybody, and he'd encourage me in an area. Well, maybe try this. Maybe try this dynamic, or maybe sit back in the pocket. Maybe groove just a little bit more this way with me. And he began working with me. He was a master musician. And I remember sitting behind a drum set, sort of like this, looking out across at the piano player, and there were moments where he and I would connect in ways that words couldn't even express. Who was this person? He was a master musician. You see, friends, this morning, similarly, when you offer what you have, when you offer who you are, the master will step in like he did that orchestra pit. He will step in and he will use your life. He enhances what you think is average talent. He enhances what you think are average skills or resources and abilities. He enhances it. Jesus does with purpose and with hope. No, I'm not going to play a drum solo for you this morning. I know you were hoping I would. Let down, want, want. No. So I want to give you this morning three purposeful reflections. When we think of the Gospel of Luke, the fifth chapter, and this narrative with Peter. Number one, Peter saw a boat. Jesus saw a platform. It's your first fill-in. You see, life with Jesus is an adventure. It's a journey. Following him is all about finding hope, meaning, and purpose. Jesus has a way. I love this about Jesus. He has a way of reframing an average day. I mean, I experienced it this morning when I got up. I experienced it. Look at scripture. It says, he noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. Read this with me. He climbed into the boat. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's. Circle that in your text if you can. Circle that in your notes or underline that. That's important. It's important because Jesus reframes the discouragement that Simon and the guys had experienced. He reframes it by climbing in to the situation and teaching. First of all, let's push the pause button here. And it strikes me when you observe this text. I don't know if you do this when you read. You just step back and you just observe. Just start by observing what the Bible is actually saying. And whoever this was, Luke, okay, who records this, think of him like a journalist maybe. You know, why didn't he report anything Jesus said? Like it says he climbed into the boat and taught the crowd. What did he teach the crowd about that day? I mean, give me his sermon notes at least. Give me something. I mean, what did Jesus teach? Luke doesn't record what he taught. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting to anybody else? He records everything else around. He records what Jesus did, but he never talks about what he taught in this in particular instance. It's very interesting to me. All about what he did. I'm interested this morning. Could it be that Jesus is wanting to climb into your heart today and reframe things just like he did here? It's interesting because when somebody is with you, sometimes they don't even need to say anything, right? Ever been discouraged? And just being in the presence of somebody who knows, believes in you, when they just climb into the situation with you, it makes the world a difference. Doesn't that feel good? When somebody just climbs in with you and they can understand what you're, they don't even need to say anything. They're just with you. So Jesus climbs in to the boat. Could it be he's wanting to climb into your heart this morning and just be with you? The fishermen had left them. Speaking of the net, scripture says, the fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. Peter was done. He was done. I mean, when you're scrubbing your nets, that means you're done. It's over. I'm done. I'm done with this. Have you ever thought that? Forget it. It's over. I'm done. Have you ever punched your time card on a situation or circumstance? Done. I'm out. I'm done. But this morning, do you really believe? Think of what you're, do you really believe you're through? Do you really believe that you're done? Are your best days really behind you? I mean, think of what you've done and what you've been through and what you've, is that as good as it's gonna get? Is that it? Have we arrived? Do you really believe you're through? Do you really believe your best job that you've ever had is behind you? Or maybe it's in front of you. The best promotion, is it behind you? Or maybe it's in front of you. Your best successes, maybe your health. You just got a report from the doctor. I mean, how you washing your nets and saying, I'm done. It's over. It is what it is. My relationship, it is what it is. No more romance. It is what it is. Never gonna, I'm single, I'm never gonna get married. I always get, it is what it is. Are you washing your nets? Is there anything that you have put away? Think with me that Jesus is asking you to stand in faith, take back out, and try again. Jesus climbed in. This means that he's with us. I love this. When it's all said and done, Emmanuel, God with us. And let me tell you this, when Jesus is in it, everything changes for the better. Everything. Look at this scripture. It's one of my favorites. Go to that next scripture for me. It says, the latter glory of this house, read it with me, will be greater than the former. Can we just say that whole thing together? The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. One more time, and let's just turn up the volume a little bit. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. Jesus is not through using you yet. He's not done healing you yet. He's not done educating you yet. He's not done equipping you or promoting you yet. He's climbing in, literally climbing into your situation with you today, and he's beginning to reframe things in your life. Because I believe, I've heard it said, and I don't say it cliche, but I say it, the best of your days are the rest of your days. Jesus gives life in every dead thing you've given up on. I want to encourage you this morning, get your nets back out. I know you've been washing them and you've been done with certain things, but I want to encourage you this morning, get your nets back out and ready for what he'll do. I want to encourage you to get your vision back. Yeah. I want to encourage you this morning to get your enthusiasm back. To get your strength back, to stop washing the nets and thinking it's hopeless, but to get your hope back, to get your freedom back. You see, I have come to realize that Jesus sees as useful what we put away as useless. I said, Jesus sees as useful what we put away as useless. Your useless suffering. Oh, this is just suffering, your useless pain, your useless difficult, it's just difficult, everything is just difficult, your useless stress, your useless sickness, it's just a sickness, it's just a depression, it's just a lack. But these things, when reframed by Jesus, when he steps in to your difficulty, when he steps in to your suffering with you and your pain and your stress and your depression and your lack, when he steps in, it's a platform for him to use. Scripture says this, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. Did you hear what I just said? Using the boat as a pulpit. Peter saw a boat. Jesus saw a platform. You and I see a sickness. Where is it? CGM, continual glucose monitoring. Diabetes, I literally have a thorn on my side. See, we see it as a sickness. You know. We see it as a boat. Jesus sees it as a platform. We see that demotion or that joblessness as just pain. What's the point? Seriously? And Jesus is over here and he's looking differently and he sees it as a platform. Using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. Start seeing your life as Jesus sees it, folks. It's a platform. How can my life, ask this to yourself this morning, how can my life be used in Seattle as a platform to help people find and follow Jesus? It's not just your line of work this morning. It's a platform. It's not just a college degree that you have. It's a platform. You see it as your personality. Well, it's just who I am, but Jesus sees it as a platform. Your intellect is a platform. Your talent that you have is a platform. Jesus wants to use your entire life this morning to unleash hope, to change Seattle. You know what Jesus is asking this morning? He's saying, hey, can I use your boat? Hey, can I use your boat? Hey, over here. I know you're washing your nets, man, but can I use your boat? Can I use your boat? You see, sometimes we see it as just a boat, but Jesus sees it as a platform. Three purposeful reflections. Number two, Peter saw with man's eyes. Jesus saw with God's. How do you think about your current situation? I know how I can think about mine at times. And if I don't get with Jesus like I did this morning at 5 a.m. and brew my little AeroPress. Anybody like AeroPress? Thank you, cousin, for the recommendation if you're listening. I love my coffee time with Jesus because it recalibrates how I see things. See, Jesus saw with man, or Peter saw with man's eyes. Jesus saw with God's. Look at this. God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. We've got to get in alignment with how God thinks. We've got to reframe and restructure and recalibrate, turn around how we think about stuff. You see, because sometimes Jesus leads us through times and seasons that are difficult to appreciate, difficult to understand. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? We go through stuff where we go, really? Really? But I thought it was going to be like this, and it's turning out to be like this. But Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Sometimes he tells us to do things that are difficult for us to appreciate and understand. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about this morning when I say sometimes it just does not make sense? Peter did not have trying again anywhere on his radar, because as a fisherman by trade, okay, he knew what worked and what didn't. He knew the right time to fish. He knew what to fish with. He knew where to cast. He knew what to do. This was a fisherman. This was his line of work. He was successful. He brought home the bacon. Well, maybe not the bacon, but he brought home provisions because this man knew how to fish. And then all of a sudden they come in and they have nothing. And Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You see, Peter had decided, I'm done. Wait, what? I'm washing my nets. Wait, what? You tell me to pray? Pray? But I've already prayed about it and multiple times and things in my life just keep getting worse. Pray again? Launch out into the deep again? Wait, what? Be generous and give? But I've tried giving and have never gotten anything in return. Give, really? Love? Cast out into the deep, launch out into the deep and love, but I've loved, and it only has backfired on me in my life. when I've suddenly found myself alone, feeling completely abandoned, isolated, broken, and betrayed. I'm done. I'm washing my nets. But wait. Trust? Launch out into the deep? And trust? Really? What is Jesus asking you this morning to trust him with again? You've been there. You've done it. You're washing your nets. But you've got to understand this text. Launch out into the deep. Jesus' deep blessings aren't given in shallow places. They're not. They're not given in surface level, half-hearted places. God's blessings, as you read the text, launch out into the deep, he says. His blessings await those who are willing to launch out with him in total trust. Do you trust him this morning to launch out into the deep, to pray again, to hope again, to love again, to trust again, to give again? Master, Peter says, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. Haven't caught anything. What does he say? But if you say so, I'll let down my nets. Just underline that. Circle that. Highlight it. Whatever you got to do. But if you say so, Peter says, I'll let down my nets. Jesus, I feel anxious this morning. But if you say so, your word does tell me to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition, thanksgiving included, let my request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Look, this morning, God, I feel weak, but if you say so, your word says in Joel 3:10, let the weak say I am strong. Jesus, this morning I feel shame, I feel guilt, I feel condemned. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets again in faith, because your word tells me in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus, this morning I feel alone. I feel lonely. I feel isolated and alone. But if you say so, your word does says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus, I feel like I can't, like I don't have what it takes. Like I don't have what it takes, or I don't have the abilities or the skills, or Lord, I feel like I can't, but if you say so, I'll let out my nets again, because your word tells me I can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, I feel lifeless this morning. It took me everything to barely put on my pants and get up and get here. But if you say so, I feel lifeless. But if you say so, your word does say that you are the God who gives life to the dead places. And you call things that are not, Romans 4:17, as though they were. Jesus, I feel hopeless. I'm depressed. My situation just tells me there's no hope. But if you say so, I'll launch out. I'll let out the nets, because God, your word says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. I love this. Scripture says, it was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish straining the nets. Read this with me. Past capacity. Circle that. I love that. I love that. I want to encourage you this morning specifically. Don't give up, those in here who have thought about it. Don't give up. And don't give up on your education dream. Let me just talk to those who are in school right now. I'm working on my master's at Northwest, which, by the way, is super cool, because this church here, under the direction of Reverend Henry Ness, back in 1934, launched Northwest University out of this church. And this pastor here, 13th in line, Linnea and I are in this great 92-year-old church, 8 years away from our centennial, by the way. 13th in line as pastors, and we get to go now to the school that Reverend Henry Ness launched back in 34. Don't give up on your education dream. If you want to go for a master's, if you want to finish your degree, if you want to go and you want to try to get that PhD, don't give up on your educational goal just because it's too expensive. Because I want to stand here this morning and I want to declare that God is about to provide past capacity. You may not have the money in the bank to be able to pay for it. You may not know how it's going to happen. That's not your job. Your job is to trust. Okay, Jesus, you told me to do it. You put the desire in my heart. It doesn't look like I can do it, but your word does say you give me the desires of my heart. You both plant them, you cultivate them, and you bring them to fruition. Past capacity. Let's never settle for a safe, shallow ministry here at Calvary. Just because we've done what we did back here in time. Isn't it amazing how we launched the school in 34? Well, yeah, it is. But don't you think it's even a little more amazing that your pastor is going to the school that you launched? I mean, that's awesome. We will not settle for shallow ministry. We will look out to the deep. And we will say, it's scary out there. It's nerve-wracking. I don't really know how. But Jesus, if you said to launch out, I'm going to launch out. Because no sooner that we do obediently than you experience a past capacity miracle and answer to prayer. Will you launch out? Will you go deeper with Jesus? I want to encourage you three ways to launch out in faith and go deeper with Jesus. Number one, prayer at Calvary. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m., 80,000 square feet in this complex. Amazing! And my favorite room out of the whole place is right over here, the little prayer chapel. Would you join me on Wednesdays? We launched with 77 people. I'm a numbers guy, so seven's the perfect number. I said, we got a perfect beginning to prayer here at Calvary. We're launching it on Wednesdays, and we've held steady with an incredible momentum in prayer every week. Would you be the answer to my prayer? I've been praying God would raise up intercessors. It's the most important thing we do. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. I take that very literally. Join me on Wednesdays as we launch out in faith and we go deeper. Small group Bible studies is another way we launch out, and we go out in faith, and we go a little bit deeper. This morning was really cool at 9 a.m. I don't know if you know it, but we have Sunday school classes here. We call them small group settings and gatherings where you can meet the community of faith. And at 9 a.m. every Sunday, if you didn't know this, we've got classes here. We've got small groups here that meet. And it's an incredible time to extrapolate the word, to pull out what the word of God is saying and to apply it, both word and deed. And we apply it in community, and we apply it in our city, and we apply it in our life, and it's a way we grow deeper. Linnea and I are there every Sunday. Would you consider launching out into the deep in faith and going deeper with Jesus? Another way is generous community outreach. I want to draw attention to it again. And you may have said, well, we've talked about it twice, and we're going to keep talking about it. Because just like the Lord said, are your ears awake? Are you listening? Are you really listening? Jesus loves Seattle. Homeless Hope Bags Outreach. We are a generous community all about outreach. And this is the way we're going to reach people one by one by one by one. Visit the table this morning if you can't on your way out. It's perfectly positioned so you can't walk by it without signing up for something. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? It's the only way it works for me. If you're anything like me, I got to have it right in front of my face. And so we want to help you. We want to make it really easy. That's why we put together this list. Perhaps you say, well, I just like to make a contribution. Well, there's a great way to do that. You can text GIVE to 206-557-6322 and designate your gift to JLS Project. We have community. Linnea and I met this week with community partners we happened to run into who are looking to get involved. I believe we're going to blow by this 150 number. Because why? Because Jesus said, launch out. And so we're saying, all right, If you say so, we're doing it. Would you consider joining us in this great outreach opportunity? We've got to be bigger than something than us. We've got to continue to support the 80-plus missionaries and do Jesus Loves Seattle projects and do things both locally and internationally. We've got to start thinking bigger and broader and beyond what we've ever done. We've got to go out in the deep. All right, I can get excited, as you know. I just need to breathe, Ryan, breathe. Number three. Three purposeful reflections. Peter saw a dead end. Jesus saw a new beginning. Peter saw a dead end. Jesus saw a new beginning. Do you ever feel useless? I mean, seriously. Or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. I don't like that feeling. Do you? Ugh. Like I can't because of my health or my age. I'm too old. I had my time. I'm too old. I'm useless. Or it's the other side. I'm too young. I'm not old enough. Right? It's like we're never, when are we ever there in that sweet spot? Your abilities, well, I don't have his abilities, so he just seems like he's so good with people and talking with people. I could never witness to anyone. I'm not good with words. I can't articulate like him. Or status, you know, I'm not like that guy over there on that pew or that seat sitting over there. We compare ourselves. Andy Stanley says it's a comparison trap. You never win because we always compare their best with our worst. We judge ourselves. We feel useless. Peter says it this way, Master, leave. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. Was that dramatic enough? Leave me to myself. And then if I had hair, he'd be like, whew. Just for effect, right? That's how I read scripture. Ever since we came back from the Holy Land, I read it in color. I used to read scripture in black and white. Now, as someone said, now I read it in color after I've been to the Holy Land because I just picture where all these things are, the lake that it was on and, you know, the community that it was in. And it's like one big movie, my life, how I think. Master, leave. I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. The last thing Jesus wants to do, I'm just telling you right now, is leave you to yourself. It's the last thing he wants. But don't we do that? Us guys, we want to go into our man cave. Leave me to myself. Leave me alone. The women, they just go spend money and shop, right? That's just what... Leave me to myself and my shopping. Window shopping's okay. No, just kidding. Jesus gives new purpose and meaning whenever we feel disqualified. Here's what he says. Scripture says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. So why would he ever want to leave us to ourselves? This is our memory verse, by the way. On the back of your bulletin, every week we do a memory verse. This is the one we're going to memorize together. I think it's so important that we memorize scripture together and get that word deep in our heart. It transforms us. This is this week's memory verse. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. What on earth am I living for? What on earth am I here for? Well, scripture says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Even with all your imperfections. Just think about this. Even with all your imperfections, all my imperfections, could it be that your life is perfectly imperfect with Jesus? When you experience a bad break, the imperfect scene and scenario is a perfect setup for God to do a brand new thing. That's how I see it. Here's why, because scripture says this. It says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Don't we like new in this culture? New iPhone, new shoes, new outfit, new meal plan. We love the new vehicle, new house, new carpet. Ooh, love new carpet smell. Anybody like new car smell? Why does it go away so fast? I actually like old car smell too. But new, we're all about new. We want the new. Jesus says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, there's that vernacular again. He is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Say the new has come. The new has come. Jesus says it this way. He renews Peter and he says, don't be afraid from now on. From here forward, from now on, you will catch men. So when you begin to feel, it feels like the end. It feels like a dead end. It feels like this is it. Just remember, Jesus says, but from now on. Could you picture with me, imagine with me, Moses, all the people, they just left Egypt and they get to that spot and it's the Red Sea and they're looking around and it feels like a dead end. Just like when Peter's washing the nets, it's a dead end. This is it. This is as far as we're going. This is as good as it's been. It's a dead end. But Jesus, God says, but from now on, as the waters part and they begin to walk across on dry ground. Picture with me Daniel, who's so committed in his faith, and he kneels down 3 times a day in prayer, giving thanks to God, even when it's illegal. Even when there's laws against it, he continues to bow down and to worship his God and to have faith and to pray. He continues. It feels like a dead end when they take him and they take him to a lion's den and they open it up and they begin putting him inside and it feels like a dead end. This is it. This is my end. But God says, but from now on, as he makes it through a night and that den is opened up, and guess what scripture says? Not even a scratch on Daniel. Or how about in the same book, the book of Daniel, I happen to have been there lately in my devotions, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not bow down in a culture that says to, and they stand their ground, and because of it, they're persecuted, they're belittled, they're opposed, they're worked against, and they're thrown into a fire, which scripture says is heated 7 times hotter than it usually was. We're going to get rid of them. And they get thrown in and they think, this is it. This is the end. This is it. But scripture says there was a fourth person walking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because Jesus says from now on. Or think with me, Lazarus. Could you imagine everybody around the tomb? Lazarus has been dead. And Jesus shows up. And Jesus himself cries because he's lost a friend. And it seems hopeless, completely hopeless, like it's a dead end. But Jesus, the resurrection and the life, sees it a different way. And he says, from now on, Lazarus, come forth. How about when they crucified our Savior, murdered him on a cross, and he's hanging there, bloodied, dying. He breathes his last, and he's buried. One day goes by, despondent disciples cry. 2 days go by, seems hopeless. 3 days go by in the morning of, can't you just think, when they wake up and they just think, my goodness, a dead end, what are we going to do? But then all of a sudden, those that went to the tomb find new hope. Jesus, from now on, from now on. That's what he spoke to Peter. From now on, you may be feeling a certain way this morning. You may be in the middle of something very, very, very hopeless. But Jesus is encouraging you this morning through this crazy, bald pastor. And he's telling you, from now on, you feel isolated and alone. But from now on, when faced with an end, God always sees a new beginning. Look at this scripture. This morning, you have new meaning. This morning, listen, listen. You have new purpose. This morning, you have new hope. And because of that hope that we read about in this fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, what on earth am I doing here? The first Jesus followers could answer that question because they, as Scripture says, followed him, Jesus. Will you follow him? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give opportunity right now after a message like this. I want to extend an invitation this morning, not from me, but from God, to follow him. You see, men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace will spend an entire lifetime searching for it, searching for hope, searching for joy, searching for peace. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I don't casually say this morning, but I've searched for joy and peace and hope in a lot of different places. I mean, I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with you and go through it. I've searched in sex. I've searched in substance abuse. I've searched in thrill seeking. I've searched in adventure. I've searched in education. I've searched in overeating, undereating. I've searched in a lot of areas. You know what I found? I found that the only place that I found hope, that I found joy, that I really felt peace in my heart was in my relationship with Jesus. And that's why I get excited this morning and talk how I do and encourage you like I do, because I found hope in Jesus. I found life in Jesus. I found meaning in Jesus. I've been able to answer the question, what on earth am I doing here? Because just as that master piano player stepped in and brought hope, meaning, life into the situation, Jesus stepped into my, he came into my heart and he said, the place that you feel like you've got average, that you feel like now you've just got just natural abilities, he's given me supernatural hope, extraordinary meaning because of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to extend an invitation from God. Anybody who's found hope this morning and with me, you want to follow Jesus. At the count of three, I want to ask you to lift your hand and I want to pray a prayer with you. You say, I've never done this before, but this morning I'd like to raise my hand. We've been praying for you all week. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you'd like to follow Jesus with me. I see one in the back, two in the back. Any more? Three. Any more? Four. Thank you. Any more? Five. Thank you. Any more? Yeah. And I just ask you to raise your hand like you did confidently, so I know who I'm praying for. And you put your hands down. Thank you for having the courage to raise your hand. Pray this prayer with me in your heart, okay? Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I found hope in you. Lord, would you come into my heart? I believe in you. Would you forgive me of my mistakes? Help me, Lord Jesus, to live wholeheartedly with you. Thank you for the hope that I found in you. Jesus, I love you. Lead me, God. I follow you this day forward. I'm all in, Lord.